Okay, let's begin. We're going to learn tonight the Matnas Chaim from Matnas Solomon on page Ayin Beis. This is the Chelek on Yamim Nairoim. And he has a beautiful piece here on the bottom under the headline of Ayin Mekayim Kevaydei. Oid Kasa B'das Tzavunais. It's quoting from the Ramchal's Das Tzavunais. Chidish Be'inyin Hanal V'zel L'shain. V'teidi Oid. This is what the Ramchal writes. You should know something. Even though it's true that Hashem's kavod is everywhere. We say in davening that Mishars of Shalom Zelaza Ayim Akem Kabaydai, and then we say Kabaydai Malayalam. His kavod fills the world. There's no place in the entire Bria that the kavod, the glory of Hashem, is not present. He's everywhere. Says the Ramchal says that that's true. It's true that the kavod is everywhere. Amnam misgala b'makim echad yaisi makim acher. But just because it's everywhere does not mean that it's everywhere equally. There are some places that the kavod of the Shekhinah is much more dense. It's much more concentrated. Where is that place? There's a special place in the world that whoever wants to cleave to him can go and seek him out there. That you should go and seek out his place, and you should go there. It doesn't say in the Torah, it's interesting, wherever it says in the Torah, about the Makam HaMikdash, it never says where it is. It always says, L'shichnai Sidrushu Avas HaShama. You should go to where he dwells, and that's where you'll find him. Or we say, in Sai Parshas Re'eh, by the Gimel Regalim, we say, where are you supposed to go? Where are you, Ayla Regal? You think it says in the Torah, go to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash? No. It says, you should go, El HaMakim, Asher Yivchar Hashem, Lekechel, L'shakin Shema Hashem, the place that Hashem chose to dwell. Never says in the Torah Yerushalayim. It's interesting. It says the word Yerushalayim in the Torah, but it doesn't say it in reference to the Makam HaMikdash. It never gives us that the place exactly where it is. We know what it means, but the Torah doesn't say it. So that's the place in the Makam HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, is a specially concentrated place where you'll find the Shekhinah. You can go anywhere. You can find the Shekhinah in Las Vegas. You can find the Shekhinah in anywhere in the world. But the Ikar Makam, if you want to really be saturated with Hashras HaShekhinah, there's one place in the universe, and that's the place of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Kama Siddarm Umarachis Yitztarchul Inyan Zeh Ba'agdara Rabbah At Sheyagil Yidav B'Gdushasai Zayis Yisparach Val Inyan Zeh Oymed Kol Tavnis HaMishkan VaMikdash. And this is why I wanted to learn it with you tonight, this piece, because it's talking about the Mishkan. And this week's parasha is Truma. We're not going to have a chance to speak about Truma this Friday Shabbos because it's an off Shabbos, but we'll get a little bit of a time for it now. That this is what the Tachnis HaMishkan and Mikdash are. Makim Lefnimi Makim. It's a place within a place. Ad Lefnai V'Lefnim Sheshama Kavit Shari Lidarish V'Li Matzalim Vakshan Lidavik Bay. Meaning, there's many different areas, zones of Kedusha. Makim lefnim imakim. So that means like you come into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place that the Kedusha is starting to get more dense, more thick. The air is thick with Kedusha. Viro dar Yisrael machim. But then you drive to Yerushalayim. You come into the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Samach v'nira. There's already an intensity of Kedusha. Then you go Lefnim Menachemes, you go into the old city, that's really holy, and then you go down to the Kaisel, and if the Beis HaMikdash would be around, you'd be able to go into the Azara, and then into the Azras Nashrim, the Azara, and then the Lefnai V'Lefnim. There's different zones of holiness, but don't think that the covet of the Rabbeinu Shalom is equally dispersed throughout the entire universe. It's not. There is places in the world that it gets much, much more intense. And if you really want to be mistabik in the Shechina, you have to go there. People that are sensitive, people that have a feel for these things, some people, they like have to go to the Kaisel. When they're in Eretz Yisrael, they have to go to the Kaisel, and even in Chutzlars, I've spoken to people. They say, I just need to daven for an hour at the Kaisel, and then I'll jump back on the plane and come home, because they feel it. They feel that you can tap in to the kedusha. There's a hot spot, the Wi-Fi is stronger there, the connectivity, and they're not wrong. It's not like in their minds. It's true. There is in the world. There's a much thicker sense of kedusha in the air. By the Kaisel, and there is other places. And in the Mikdash and the Mishkan in the Midbar, there was the same idea. Vinei kol tzva milam, milam shivchei shel hakavod hazeh. Now, if you think that that's just, all right, maybe on planet Earth, but probably when you go up to Shamayim, it's probably not such a big deal to be in Yerushalayim. It's not true. He says, even in the tzva milah, even the malachim in the heavens, they're praising this special, intense kavod that's found in Yerushalayim. Ba'imrim, malei kalaretz kevaydai. And then we say, baruch kevayd Hashem mimekaymai. That Hashem's kavod is blessed mimekaymai, from his place. Kihu levadai, kayach kalan imsam kamei shebi'arno. Because he is that's his place. That's where he's choosing to be mashar Yerushalayim. Because the kavod is uplifted from the shevach of his actions. Okay, that's the Ramchal. That's in the Das Tavunis. Now I want to learn with you tonight what Rav Matzis Yo's Haisafa is, a Gevaldig Haisafa. V'hainu shayisayit shel kved Hashem, when people that want to serve Hashem come, and they're seeking, there are people that are looking to find Hashem, where they want to cling, they want to cleave to Hashem, they want that connection. And they come together in a unified place. In that place that you have a cluster of people that gather and they want to be in a makam of kedusha, there is an intensity of kedusha there. People create the kedusha there. That by many people coming to one central location and converging on it in order to get close to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that itself creates a matzav of intense kedusha. That's Hashem's makam. And that's where his kavod is palpable. V'zeh ha'inyan shel ha'mishkan v'mikdash, shehu makom miyuchad asher eilo bo makom mevakshei Hashem. All people that are seeking out Hashem would come to the Mishkan or to the Mikdash. Shaz yesh yaiser kved Hashem makom ahu. V'chein b'chal makom sheba aylam baruch kved Hashem m'mkaymai. Kishem is'achtim dar shem makom echad yachad l'chvaydai, yesh yaiser kved l'akadosh baruch. It's not just the Beis HaMikdash, he's saying. It's any place that there is an asifa of people that are coming together for kved shamayim, there you'll find an intensity. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go to Yerushalayim. If we're in this, if let's say we were tonight together trying to be misachah, we're trying to come together in this vat and be miachet shmei ba'alam and find kvayda yisbarach, then this would be a place of asheras hashchina. This would be a place that his kavod is very recognized. What makes his kavod? What is kavod? Just like an intangible thing that is sitting in kavod is created by people that are trying to be mechabed somebody, right? So if 10 of us, let's say, are going, we're trying to be, say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Kaimai, Kedusha. We have a Kedusha, we have a Minyan. That itself is creating a matzav of Kavod Shamayim. So we create the Kavod Shamayim. We coming together and saying Kedusha and being Mishabeach Hashem, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod is palpable, is patent there. Ubizmanenu Shein Lanu Beis. Nowadays, says Rav Matzis Yo, we have no Beis HaMikdash. I am a kaim kaveda. Where exactly is his kaved? Where would you find it? Heichan hu amakim by misasim u misachtim darsh Hashem u marim kved shamayim. Where do you think that you would find a gathering of people that are looking to get a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, coming together at once, and being Marbe Kaveit Shemaim. Where do you think that would be? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Where would it be? So Isa B'Chazal, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Olamai, El Dalet Amashalach Avodad, a Beis Medrash. Wherever there's a Dalet Amashalach, where people are sitting and learning Torah, that itself creates a Matzav of Kaveit Shemaim. V'yim kein achshav she'en lanu beis hamikdash. Now we don't have beis hamikdash, but that's not a problem that's not solvable. Beis hamedrash hu makam hamikdash shalai v'zeh makam kevaydai. The beis medrash is the place of the mikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mikdash today, and that's the makam of his kavod. Sham is kayim yichvayd Hashem la'aylam yismach Hashem emaisav. It gives us a new perspective on the beis medrash. A lot of times we're so used to the Beis Medrash that we take it for granted. I just was reading an article somebody sent me, like it's about 120 pages of stories that were gathered about my Rosh Hashiva of Aaron Shechter. So one of the stories was, and this was not an uncommon thing, somebody was using his cell phone in the building of Chaim Berlin, not in the Beis Medrash, in the building. And Rav Aaron passed by him in the hallway and he got very upset with him. And he says, like, you know, he wanted to kick him out of yeshiva just for speaking on the phone. And he told me it was an emergency. And then, like, Rav Aaron passed by him again and he was still talking on the whole story. But Rav Aaron, like, they had a whole back and forth and it was a big, like, blow up. And then Rav Aaron says, I know that you think that I'm exaggerating, and I know you probably think that I'm, you know, overdoing it, and that I went too far with you, and I shouldn't have, and you're probably right. He says, but I'm afraid that if I don't make a macha about people on the phone in the building, and it was probably a flip phone, I'm sure it wasn't a smartphone, this was back, there was no, I don't think, you know, when Aaron was still, you know, with it and healthy, there wasn't a, I don't think smartphones were existing yet. And if they were, I don't think anyone would have them in Chaim Berlin. But he says, I'm afraid that if I don't make a macha about you talking in the hallway in a flip phone, before you know it, people are going to be talking in the Beis Medrash on their phones. That story is like, it probably doesn't even make sense to you because you're so, we're so used to like doing it. We have laptops in the Beis Medrash, and we have computers in the Beis Medrash, and we have iPhones in the Beis Medrash, and we have iPads in the Beis Medrash, and Mar Mekaymis in the Beis Medrash, and like everything is technology. Okay, you know, whatever, it is what it is. And I think I'm definitely guilty as charged, but it's just so beautiful that like he was so worried that you might, like he couldn't imagine that somebody would speak on a phone in the Beis Medrash. Couldn't imagine, like that was like unthinkable. So he had to make a macha because he's afraid if he doesn't do it there, somebody may someday like do it, you know. And look what happened. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Chaim Berlin today, but like, you know, every Beis Medrash came out in the world. It's like a normal thing. It's a normal thing. And it shouldn't be a normal thing, but we're used to it. But if do you think that in the Beis HaMikdash there would be people using their cell phones and the Kaihanim, Bavidasim, Levim, Bashir. You never know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they would. But it's that shouldn't. If this is a makom of kavod, if this is a place of the kavod of the Shechina, so it really doesn't make sense that, you know, we should use our phones in the basement. We shouldn't be using our phones at all. But if we use it, we shouldn't be using it in the Beis Medrash. And if we, you know, there's a computer in the back of the Beis Medrash, you know, in the corner back there. And so when they first put it in, I mean, they definitely didn't ask me about it. But it was like, this is going back quite a while, I would say maybe a good 15 years. And it was like just cutting edge, and they had, they wanted to put the Eitzra Chachma or Bar Ilan on it. It wasn't a bad idea, but like it just like they just decided to do it. And then I remember it was Erev Shabbos. The computer was just installed maybe on a Thursday. It was Erev Shabbos, and there was like a Kailal guy. It was a Talmud, and he was here for a number of years. He got married, and then he said to me, Rebbe, the computer is in the back of the thing. He's like pointing to it. I said, it's not Shabbos stick, right? We should probably like cover it. He says, Shabbos stick? He says, it's not Beis Medrash stick. Not Beis Medrash to have a computer in the Beis Medrash. If you go to, I don't think that if you go to Lakewood or you go to Chaim Berlin or you go to Tar Vadas, you'll find anyone with a laptop in the Beis Medrash. I just don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't know. Is that true? Do you know? I don't know. In Ar Chaim, do they have laptops in the Beis Medrash?
I don't think so.
No. If you go like to, you know, like a serious...
I saw, depending on the person.
Yeah?
I have seen it.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I don't think in Lakewood
not
they
really
would...
Yeshivas.
What?
Not really yeshiva.
I didn't say that. I said a yeshiva that has a real mashgiach. You know, it would be unthinkable to have a laptop in a Beis Medrash. It's just we're used to it. Like if one guy once brought it in, nobody threw stones at him or threw rotten tomatoes at him. So another guy brought it in. Another guy brought it in. Now everyone's bringing it in. What are they?
There.
They have a real computer, or is
yeah,
it just for Eitzer Chachma? Probably just for Eitzer
Chachma. But there's a computer there.
Yeah, but that's in the Eitzer. It's not in the. That's where I used to learn, by the way. I very rarely. I love learning in the Eitzer. That's where I used to just. Yeah, that's where my main learning took place in that room. But that's the that's what we're. I'm not being a kanai here. I'm just stating the obvious. It's like. In the mirror, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel was like, he made huge machais. He didn't want any. I don't think he wanted anyone in the mirror to own a smartphone, but let alone to use it in the Beis Medrash or in any of the buildings of yeshiva was like a strictly forbidden. That's that was the days that it was still a milchama. Now the Eitz Hara got into our bedrooms, they got into our living rooms, they got into our Beis Medrash, into the shuls, and we use it. It's like. Again, I'm guilty as charged. I'm not saying that I'm firmer than anybody else. I'm not, but it's just. But if we could step back a little bit and try to, go back to the origins of it, it was something that like would be unthinkable at first because it's a kavod hashchina. I remember going back like 20, 30 years in Brooklyn. Like the first time I saw a guy bring a newspaper into shul was like, what are you doing? It was like somebody brought a New York Times in, and like maybe maybe it was just one of these free papers, and like by Chazar Sashatz. It's always that one guy that's like looking at it during Chazar Sashatz, and like, for me that was still like, and then like, okay, then once you see it a couple of times, it's normal. You start doing it also, but that's how things like Gedarim are designed to hopefully be strong enough to, but. That was Matisyahu's great legacy, was that he was trying to be loichem against this so that it wouldn't be a layup. It's not saying that since that Asifa, nobody's using the internet. They are. And nobody is. Everybody that would have used it before probably continued. But at least there's a, concepts of like, there's a concept at least of having a filter on the phone, a concept of not using it in a Beis Medrash maybe, or not bringing it into the house, or not, at least it created some recognition that there's a problem. That itself is something. But in a place that has Kvaydei Shel Makom, a place that Hashem's Shechina is in, which is a yeshiva, which is Befrat a Beis Medrash, that's the Makom, that's where it all happens. So then, to have any breach of Kvod Shamayim is really wrong. It's not so pasha to eat in a Beis Medrash. Like you have to, in order to eat in a Beis Medrash, you have to make a tenai when the Beis Medrash is built that it's going to be for eating. And if you, it's a big sugyas about it's not so pasha just that we eat in the Beis Medrash, have coffee in the Beis Medrash, and have donuts in the Beis Medrash. We do it and it's okay, but like it's not. If you're really understanding what a Beis Medrash is, it's like, this is the Azara today. This is a Makom of Azara, and it's something that, we have to at least give some thought to and try to get some recognition of what a Beis Medrash is and how. I'll tell you a cute story with Rav Aaron. It was, again, going back many years, but it was just the cell phone was just coming on the market, and it was all flip phones. They didn't have... And everyone had flip phones. There was no smartphones at the time. Flip phone was like cutting edge. Just that had it. You have the ability to talk on a phone. It's a crazy thing if you stop and think about it. It's also something that we don't understand how amazing it used to be. When I was growing as a kid, there's no flip phones. If you wanted to get a call from somebody, you had to literally sit by your phone and wait for a call. Or you can have an answering machine. But like, you know, if you're expecting a call, it's not like you can't carry on a phone and go to yeshiva and come back and know that, you know, you're not missing anything. You have to, if you're expecting a phone call, let's say you're waiting for a shatkan to call you back, or you're waiting for a business meeting or whatever, you have to sit by your phone. Because you can't just drive. You're going to be out of the loop. There's a crazy world before that. Or maybe it was a normal world. Because at least then, when you drove, you knew that there's no break, right? You could have actually a normal drive. You can listen to some shir. You can listen to some music. You don't have to, like, keep talking and thinking and, like, you know, texting. So I was at a chasna with Rav Aaron, and it was an outdoor chuppah. And it was one of these, like, four guys holding a pole. So this friend, the chasna, was mechabed me as one of his friends. He was mechabed me to hold a pole for the chuppah. Okay. Which means that I had a front row seat to watch what was about to happen, which is a crazy story. So Rav Aaron was Masada the Kedushin, and picture the scene. There was like a big, big crowd. It was like at a hall in Borough Park, maybe. And Rav Aaron was about, you know, Rav Aaron was very regal. He was like very malchistic. And he was about to start saying the Birchas Erisin, starting the ceremony of a chasna under the chuppah. And the father of the kala all of a sudden his phone goes off, starts ringing. And this guy, you know, his daughter is getting married right now. It's not like it's 10 minutes from now. It's not like they're taking pictures. Your daughter is about to get married, and his phone starts ringing, and he takes the call. He takes the call, and he's like schmoozing with a person. I don't know who it was. Doesn't matter. He's schmoozing with a person. Just my daughter's getting married. And Rav Aaron was like, his face was beet red. He was so mad. He was so mad. He could not understand what was going on. And he says, "Can you please hang up the phone? Your daughter is about to get married. Can you please hang up the phone?" The guy was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, like, Rav Aaron understood what Kvayt Shamayim is. Rav Aaron had a very, very, he had radar for Kvayt Shamayim. His antennas were up for Kvayt Shamayim. He was able to know exactly what's going on. He walks into the Beis Medrash. He could feel the Beis Medrash. He had that sonar to him. I was just telling somebody the other day that he had the ability to come into a Beis Medrash. And our Beis Medrash is pretty full, but Chaim Berlin Beis Medrash is probably four times the size of ours, and it probably has four times the amount of Bachrim, probably more. And Rav Aaron would give a mimer, which is like a shmooze, but he would give it at certain times of the year, like, you know, before Chanukah or on Chanukah, and for the Pachid Yitzchak's yard side, and before Pesach, and on Pesach. Anyway, he would give it, it's like a thing in Chaim Berlin, the mimerim. And he would sit down in his seat. Everybody would stand up. He would sit down, you know, at the front of the Beis Medrash. He would sit there when he was giving his maimer. He would look around the room like this. And he knew exactly, within 3 seconds of scanning the room, who was there and who was not there. And you better have been there, because if you weren't there, you would hear about it. Or at least I did. You know, like, he would know who is there. It's not an easy thing to do. In this room, you know, it's maybe doable, but imagine if there is 1,000 people, 2,000 people, and you're able to know exactly who is there and who is not there. That's a pretty cool gift. But yeah, because he had a sense of propriety. He was like a very proper, his antennas were up. He was very in touch with what was going on in a ruchniistic sense. And it's a matter, you know, if we don't understand what we're talking about tonight, about the Beis Medrash and eating and a phone and it's because we're so desensitized. It's not really our fault. We grew up already with this concept. It's fine to have a phone in the Beis Medrash, fine to schmooze in the Beis Medrash, fine to eat in the Beis Medrash, fine to bring sushi into the Beis Medrash. Fine, it's all good. It's all good. Alibi, we're in the Beis Medrash. That's itself a big mila. If you're in the Beis Medrash, that no one's going to give you trouble what you're doing with it, because we're so happy that you're in the Beis Medrash. But it would be a mila that we could all really work on, especially as Parshas Truma. you know, to just be a little, I'm not saying to do anything halacha l'maaseh. I'm not saying that, you know, we're not going to use our phones, we're not going to use the laptops, we're not going to make a call or text somebody. I'm sure that it would be too much to ask of everybody, but at least to, like, be aware that it's not 100% mutter. That itself is a madriga. I think the Bali Musar would say that you can't compare doing an avera with a krechts and doing an avera without a krechts. A krechts is like, oh, you know, sometimes you do an avera and you couldn't care less, and then sometimes you care. You just, you know, you feel bad about it. That feeling bad is not dram shel mabekach. It's not a nothing. The fact that you sighed a little bit, that sigh can save you a lot of gehenim in the next world, because it means that you had a little bit of a conscience. So if we're doing something in the Beis Medrash that might not be perfectly Beis Medrashtik, but if we're at least understanding that it's not really l'chatzchil, but I need to bring my phone. I can't exist without it. I need it for my makaymis. I need it for texting. I need, my chavrus is going to call me. I need it, okay? But at least we should, all of us should understand that it's not really a normal thing. If the Beis Medrash is really the Ayei Mekayim Kavayde of the world, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have Dalan HaMashal Halacha, the Beis Medrash is like that holy place. It behooves us at least to chop like what we're not doing in the Beis Medrash right. Even if we're going to continue doing it, but at least we know that Kyla guy was dead on. He was spot on. He was, like, it's not Beis Medrash. Like, that computer, you know, does not belong in the Beis Medrash. You put it out and put it in the room on the side. Why does it have to be in the Beis Medrash on Shabbos? It's just not. It's not a normal thing. But it became part of the furniture now. I'll tell you one last story, a crazy story, not with Avaron. It was with a janitor in yeshiva, custodian here in this yeshiva, years ago. I know I sound like an old man when I, maybe I'm an old man, but like, I, you know, this is a mice that happened probably 15, 20 years ago. There was like this, like a little, he was like a little weird, the janitor. He was like, I don't even know what he was. He was like a weird guy, but like he was always like a little shicker, a little high. He has something going on with him. He died like that year, this mice. He died actually a few days after this mice, I'm going to tell you, happened. I was taking an elevator with him down, and he said to me, he said, "I'm so happy." I said, "Why are you so happy?" He says, "Because I used to clean on the third floor. That was my floor. And now they just put me into the big study hall, you know, the Beis Medrash. That he got the job to clean, the Taranut went to him. He got the job to clean the Beis Medrash." I said, "So why are you so happy? What do you care? What difference does it make?" He said, "Are you kidding me?" He says, "When I'm in that room, I feel God's presence." This guy with a tzelem, a cross around his neck, he's a real Catholic, a real, real frum guy. And like, he feels God's presence when he's cleaning the Beis Medrash. It was a schus for him. Like, he feels like so lucky to have chopped that job of sweeping the Beis Medrash, because he feels God's shrina in the Beis Medrash. A guy. And I was like, I felt so embarrassed. Like, I'm the mashgiach of this yeshiva. I can't say that. I can't say I come into the Beis Medrash and I'm like, whoa, this is a different avira. This is already something very different than the dining room, than the labs, than my office. I don't feel it. But this guy does feel it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And you know what the pshat is? The pshat is that we're in the Beis Medrash so much that to us it's like another room. It's like our dorm room. In a way, it's a limud zchus on us, because, like, you know, in shul also, like, if you ever see a gayish lavdil, if you ever see, like, on television, whatever that is, like a wedding in a church, you ever see that? Or they might have, like, you know, if you really, you know, you see a movie and people are in a church for whatever reason on Sunday, no one talks. There's no talk, there's no schmoozing in a church. People sit there like church mice. That's where the expression comes. They just sit there and they listen to the galach talk, and they give money to the pushka there, and then they go out and they schmooze outside. They don't talk in the church. There's not a thing talking in a church. You don't talk in a church, to the best of my knowledge. At least in the movies, there's not. But you go, and this is I'm gonna be malamitzchus. So don't think I'm speaking badly about Klai. So you go into the average shul before we all got very religious lately about not talking in shul. But like, you know, a regular shul, regular, you know, people are talking. All davening can't. Kriyas HaTorah, Chazar HaShatz, Vayechula, wherever you shouldn't be talking, they're talking. How could that be? How could a guy, you know, be so, have such, you know, decorum in their churches, in their Makam HaVedizara, and a Yid can't do that? And I think that the answer is very pashut. Look at what a Yid does. A Yid is there for Dafyaymi, you know, before davening. And then he davens in the shul every single, not just Sunday, not just Kratzmach, every single day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Shiurim, Shabbos afternoon, Einar groups, Kiddush. You know, most of our mail could get delivered to the shul. We spend more time in the shul very often than at home. Between work, house, shul, probably spend more time, you know, more waking hours in shul than we do at home. And in yeshiva for sure, right? We're in the Beis Medrash day and night. So for us, it just becomes, we're here so often that it's like Levi Gaspa. We lose recognition for it, but precisely because we're there so much. So it's a limud zchus for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, it's difficult for us to not talk because it's comfortable for us. You know, it's our living room. Like the Gemara says that Bei Rav, my Bei Rav, Beisai Shal Rav, it's the house of Talmid Chachamim. If you're a Talmid Chachamim, your living room is the Beis Medrash. You're not going to the hub. You're not going into the, you know, you're in the basement. The place that you enjoy or you should be enjoying is based, so I'm there. This is I'm comfortable there. It's my living room. So what do you do in the living room? You schmooze and you eat and you go on your laptop. You go on your smartphone because you're comfortable there. I'm not saying it's not a heter, but it's a limud zchus. A guy, you know, this guy that was a janitor, you know, he doesn't have, for him it's his chus, he's coming, he knows that this is a holy room, he sees the holy books, he sees the Aron HaKodesh, he sees people learning Torah, so for him it's like, this is godly. If we would go into, if you would have, you know, Pamachas Bashan, you had one chance a year to go into a Beis Medrash, you would also feel it, but because we're there, Baruch Hashem, so often, it takes away the experience. The Beis Hamikdash was the same way. The Beis Hamikdash, they were so scared of people getting desensitized from the holiness of the experience. Reb Chaim Shmulev is the whole Musar Shmulev that it says Habad Derech Shara Mizrach has to go out Derech Shara Ma'ariv. There was you couldn't just like go in and out of the same door in the Beis Hamikdash. If you go in through one door, you have to leave. They didn't let you turn around. You have to go out through the other. You know why? Because if you go in one door and then you go out and in and out, you're gonna think, okay, I own this part. This is my area. No, you don't own anything. You just keep moving. Just keep walking. We don't want you to get desensitized to the experience. We want you to be able to feel like, wow, you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you see this is like the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and the Levim and the Kayhanim. It's an experience, a Chavaya. If you're just like in there every single day, even the Kayhanim were not really, they had Mishmaris, they had, you know, a couple of days, you get it, a couple of days, I get it. It's like they wanted to keep it like a real Chavaya experience for people. Precisely because of this, they didn't want us to become like, been there, done that, ho-hum, like, then there's nothing. If you're going to be bored in the Beis HaMikdash, if you're not impressed with the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan, then, you know, you're not. So this is an important thing. Parshas Truma, a takeaway from Parshas Truma, is to be able to recognize that the covet of Hashem, where is it found? It's found in a place that people gather to be Mevakesh Hashem. They're looking, they're seeking Hashem. Where is that? In the pizza store, they're seeking Hashem? They're seeking Hashem in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, and Bamei Senerav, and we don't have that in the Beis Medrash. And the covet of the Shekhinah is in the Beis. When you walk into that door, if you'd have special glasses that you could see the Shekhinah with, you would see the Shekhinah when you walk into the Beis. We don't have those glasses. But if we would, we have to believe, like that guy was able to feel it, we should be able to feel it. And if we don't feel it, then we have to try to maybe make some gedarim for ourselves, what we're allowing ourselves to do, or not, what we're looking at, what we're not looking at, what we're going to, you know, clamp down on a little bit, just so that to keep a hakara recognition that it's not a room like a laboratory and the offices and it's a special room. The Beis HaMedrash is something that's beautiful, it's unique, it's holy. There's a Sefer Torah there. There's Sarma. There's a place that Bnei Torah learn. Yom Malaylan. There's the air is thick with Kiddush, with Kved Hashem. And if we could really like think about this and appreciate these holy places that Baruch Hashem was zeichet to have, then you know during Corona we were deprived of it, and like I think the hope would be, I was hoping that when I could come back into that locked shul, I'm going to really appreciate it. I'm not going to take it. And then, of course, you know, 2 days later, you're back on your phone, you're back doing all your shtick. But, you know, Corona was like, it was like a 1 minute lesson. And, you know, I thought chasness, okay, we're going to have like simple chasness from now on. You know, you see that you don't need a thousand people at your chasna to make it, to get married. You don't need to spend $100,000. It lasted maybe 1 minute. And then people were like, they had all that pent up money, I guess, to spend, that they were spending more now. But Corona taught us, like, you know, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, said, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell us, you know, buddy, like, learn a little, think about what you're not doing right in the Beis HaMedrash, and then I'll open it up again for you. I'm going to deprive you of it, so you could think, and you could yearn, you could mishtaikik for it, you could pine for it a little bit, and then we'll start all over again. Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't have to go through another Corona or any of the other terrible gezeiros that Klal Yisrael were separated, severed from the makim of the mikdash in our times, but in order to be assured that we won't have to be taken out of our Beis Medrash, we have to be able to have this appreciation when we have the Beis Medrash. This is a makim ka'enzeh, ki'en beis l'kim, v'zeh sh'ar shamayim.